Hello and good morning. In the past two or three Sundays, I talked glowingly about springtime in a variety of its contexts. And like all of you, I raised my hopes for a return to having a cup of tea or coffee in the garden. The government gave us a helping hand by allowing us a limited number of people to get together outdoors. And all in all, things looked rather rosy. But nature has a cruel way, sometimes, by thwarting our plans and ambitions. This time, it hit us with a spell of Arctic cold wind, and suddenly we found ourselves shivering, unless we confine ourselves to our heated indoors. But the ever-optimist in me tells me that this Sunday will certainly be the last of this year's cold spell. I haven't told the weatherman, or indeed the weatherwoman, yet, but I'm sure they do not need me to tell them how we all feel and what hopes we have. So, my hope for tomorrow is not only that for the good weather that we are entitled to, but also for the opening up of our lockdown, and the hope that we can enjoy an outdoor meal or a drink, and also to get to see our friends and relatives, and what a sense of relief that will be, even though it is not yet back to our all but forgotten normal life. For me, I can look forward to a most important event, and that is my visit to the barber. I am so relieved that I am talking to you on the radio rather than on a visual medium, because trust me, you will not enjoy my sight or the sight of my ever-grown hair. I thought I was so clever when I phoned my barber, whom I had befriended along the years and have his mobile number, to book me a slot. How depressed I was when I realized that others were and have been so much smarter than me, because the nearest or earliest I can get from my friend was a slot on Wednesday the 21st. Well, I can only count my blessings and accept the little hope I was given, although I told him I can come at short notice if he gets a cancellation. So there, I'm hopefully sorted out. Well now, enough of these trivia. My 10 minutes with Brooklyn's radio are more valuable than to be filled with such light-hearted chat. Because I can sense some worry on the part of our government over the next phase. Our demands are many, whether it is a desire to open up sooner rather than later, or when will we be allowed to travel, and where, and so many things that we had to do without over the past 12 months or so, out of necessity. But the government, on the other hand, is just looking around and finding that our neighbours across the channel are only just starting their second or third lockdown. And obviously, this part of the world is not yet out of the woods. And even when the figures in the various parts of the UK are proving a great success and moving fast in the downward direction, it will need only a short spell of indiscretion on our part to reverse that trend. And what a catastrophic state will we be and all feel if our hard-gained freedom is suddenly snatched back from us. You see, my dear listeners, while we are concerned mainly with ourselves and our nearest and dearest, the government is concerned with every one of us. This is a sort of contract that any successful nation should make between the ruler and the ruled. I'm not here speaking of politics or party politics, but only on the concept of that mutual respect and sincere undertaking of us as people and the government as the authority entrusted by us to conduct the affairs of the nation to the best of its ability. So I'm attracted to follow in my capacity as a good citizen the guidance of Abdu'l-Bahá, the son of Baha'u'lláh, who tells us, "Let them willingly subject themselves to every just king and to every generous ruler, be good citizens." But I also like the parable we have in the Bible, referring to that feast where the wine has run out before the end of the ceremony, and the host of the banquet became so distraught. It was then that, as Jesus turned water into wine and allowed the party to carry on, and this is what we read in the Gospel of St. John, "When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which draw the water knew, the government of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now." In a way, we can turn this story into the one of our coronavirus. When we were having our normal life and enjoying everything we can enjoy, this was suddenly snatched from us with a series of lockdowns and months of anxiety, and for some loss of livelihood. We needed something to bring back to us our normal life, in a sense, our ongoing party. That was the vaccine that has restored our fortunes, and we can see now the hope for the immediate weeks ahead. Such a hope we should never squander. This is what the Hindu Veda tells us we should do. "To thee, O Sakaduma, ruler of the stars, that gave us the good weather in the evening and the night and by day, let there be obeisance," which means we have been given something good, so let us enjoy it with every rectitude and compliance. In this way, and here I'm happy to quote the Quran, "Allah has promised us such of you as believe and do good work that He will surely make them succeed, and the earth even as they cause those who were before them to succeed." This then is the clear indication of our success and how we can achieve it. So, my dear listeners, let us all work together to respect and abide by the guidance of our government and enjoy the anticipated and well-earned return to some freedom. And hopefully, we shall regain our total freedom in the not-too-distant future. Let us not squander our gains, and we should abide. Let us be concerned with the happiness and the good fortune of all of us, and not just for us as individuals. Goodbye.